What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Women and men, boys and girls, welcome back to another fab episode of the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Pearl, and Yo. That's I for in Spanish. Yo.
Yo? Is it really Spanish?
Learning yeah. Everything.
Yeah, and we're so glad you've joined us in the new potty cabin. What do we call it, John? The
potty barn. It's on top of our barn.
The pottery barn, but it's with a D.
But I don't feel right about the pottery barn because I had a bad experience in the actual pottery barn. I like the potty lofty. I'm always a good.
That sounds urban though. Loft sounds urban, and we're in the middle of the woods on
this
top of a barn.
This is such a loft, right, Pasamo? Such a loft.
The pod
she
loft.
Put an E on the end to be part of the.
Yeah, but no one knows that it's a loft on top of a barn.
Can we just call it the barn?
Hey, Pottery Barn is that store, right? It's one in Murfreesboro. I went there, and it was a day that one of my children like threw up.
It's a lot of throw-up stories with Serene.
No, but listen, I have a lot of children.
Yeah,
but my pottery barn day was very severe. And all the way home in the car with the sick baby. And I just remember that day not being a pottery barn from then on. It's never been a good name. Pottery
We're
barn.
Probably not going to get them as a sponsor after that, are we? Okay, well, we'll just have to give up that.
Well, give bless their souls.
Bless their socks.
I brought some good things that day, never put them up. That's what actually never put them up. That I could go straight into what I was going to talk about.
I was going to say, because that would be a rabbit trail and we want to get into the meat today.
No, that's what I'm talking
about. Okay, because you bring the meat.
I didn't know it was going to flow, but it flew.
Fly it.
Flow it did.
It flew. Because I said I brought stuff, but I didn't put it up. And that's kind of the story of my life is I really love to decorate. I love to, you know, do stuff like that. But for some reason, our home has always been in a situation where it's never quite been finished. So you kind of wait for that stuff to put up. But all that to say is I am just deciding to put stuff up on my walls. And I'm an extremist. So a lot of people might pick a few lovely things and put them up. But
not you.
I've gone and got like a gazillion frames. And then I was wasting buku bucks. So I went to the dollar store and got a dollar store bunch of frames. Like that means you can spend like you get 100 frames.
Yeah, you get 100 frames for $100.
Yeah, so like I have been getting I have been getting Pearl to send me all the backlog of random pictures, you know, the really cool ones that aren't, you know, her stuff that's on her phone, so it's candid and awesome. And I'm coding my whole walls. It's just all going up. It's all great memories.
You
and
told me not a speck of wall shall be shown.
Yeah, and she said I want every cedar cumin up there, Serena. And that's what I meant in one of the other potties where I said there's a lot of cumin on my walls. I didn't want you to think of splashed chili with cumin bits in it on my walls, but I just have a lot of spice on my walls, a lot of color and flavor. And it's really, it's a beautiful thing. After looking at all these memories, I said to Pearl, boy, we've had a great life. Boy, we've had a great life. Remembering and looking at those moments, it's just been a beautiful thing. And what I've noticed with my children is they're taking more appreciation of their environment, cleaning up after them, and it's a warm environment now, and so they're being more warm of personality. They're not fighting as much.
Why? Because they're looking at themselves on the wall, and they're on the wall. They're laughing and
yeah,
smiling.
And it's like, wow, this is a great place. This is a great family, and I want to make another great memory. Maybe I don't know, but I've just noticed a lot of things have changed, not just my walls. So I started internalizing it, and I started thinking, wow, what pictures am I hanging on my walls? Because this abode of my house, that's one thing, but you know, that's not really my abode. The place that I really live in every day is me. That's what I abide in. I abide in me. Like
you're the house.
No, my body, my tent.
Yeah, you are the tent.
Yeah, I'm the house of my personality, of my soul, or whatever. It's just this is what am I? What do I have inside of my walls? Do I have like hurts that I've framed and hung up on my wall? Do I have like a bitterness that I have decided to like have a special shrine in the corner? Is there an argument in my marriage 3 years ago that I dust off regularly, you know, and keep there for display and make sure it's there so I can bring that up and have, you know, easy eyesight, easy access to that memory. And I started thinking, I've had a blessed childhood, but many people haven't. And then I started to think, you know, it's not a purposeful thing. And some people have trouble letting things go. But, you know, there could be people that have had a special especially a very bad memory or very abusive memory that is on their wall. It's on their wall, and it doesn't bring any good feelings. You know, it brings the opposite. And I started thinking, wow, I need to start taking a few things down from my walls and putting the good things up. And isn't it true how maybe on our walls we realize the intelligence of, we're not going to put up the picture when, you know, the big brother gave the little brother the black eye and put that on the wall. We know we'll put the happy, you know, eating the birthday cake picture of the two brothers. That's what we're going to put on the wall. But inside our own little body homes, sometimes we forget about those things and we put up the black eye picture. We don't put, you know, so a lot of marriages, many that you hear of breaking up, you'll talk to one of, or either of the spouses and you'll be like, so tell me a little bit what's going on. And you'll hear all these bad memories and they can't even remember the good memories. So it's like those bad moments were put up and framed, but the good memories were never put up and framed. And so I started thinking about that. And then I started thinking, well, hold on here. I've been wanting to put pictures up for years, but a lot of my problem is I can't, because I have to have certain things done first, or I need my handy tool man, my good old Sam, and then he's busy, and then some of it I need actual proper tools too to measure and stuff, and it's just, I feel like it's out of my league because I have really tall ceilings and blah, 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 blah. So I thought to myself, well, there's some people, it's not really even an issue of wanting, it's how. And that's where it comes to even a deeper thing too. And I know you, Danny, are going to run with this, and Pearl, you run with this. So I'm going to end with this last thing. So I felt like it's something I took to the Lord, and I'm like, God, you're going to have to help me remove some of this stuff, you know. And there's people out there that have had childhoods that they really need help, or not childhoods, or maybe it's been in their later life where they really need help. So that to remove that those bad pictures and have help and hang in. And have help in hanging up the right things, and because I know people who have struggled in places in their mind, and it's not that they want to live in that abode, in that mindset. That mindset's driving them crazy. That mindset is a trap to them. That mindset is a place that they wish they could get out of, and that's why a lot of people turn to alcohol, turn to drugs, because they feel stuck in that home that's surrounded with enshrined pictures. Dusted off every day, and they don't want to be dusting them off every day. They don't want to be like, ooh, remember that time, but their mind keeps, they throw proteins towards it, you know. What I mean by that is every thought in our brain and our body is really a protein, and the more you think about it, the more it's established. And so but it's a cat chasing its tail, and it's a circuit that's just been so well oiled that it keeps happening. So when I say, the first part of what I said was like, let's put the happy pictures up. Let's, you know, take down the bad. That's all well and good. There's some people, as you know, Danny, who have had situations where it's more than a human thing. It needs supernatural hanging and removing. Yeah. And so that's what I wanted to open up. Dan, I feel like you look poignant, like you're ready to talk.
Oh, I could speak for an hour after your poetic setup.
Oh, I didn't know about
using that. Frame imagery, and it's so perfect. It so perfectly describes the walls of our heart. So good on you, mate. That was so good.
For the anger.
I actually had years of gut painting anxiety removed in a small group session with five other men a couple months ago. Yay. You ever feel anxiety like a spear in your center of your body? That's where I process everything for some reason. Like, I'm not like some people, like, oh, I'm so, like, they hold their head and they're like, oh, I got a headache. I'm so frustrated. For me, it's just these spikes of anxiety in the stomach. And had a guy in this meeting, and he said, instead of trying to like mind over matter and like, we're going to, let's shift gears. But like, before you try to like get out of that feeling, he was like, let's notice that feeling. Let's sit in it for a minute and let's pay very close attention to where it's located. You know, how does it come? Is it a wave or is it a constant? He's like, let's really, and he wanted to narrow in and identify and face it. And it was really a new concept for me to, because what you're talking about is like if I were to use your analogy, I would say, well, how do we remove these pictures off our wall? You know, how do we, because so often I think, when we go back to a negative space in our heart, it's our attempt at actually removing it. It's actually our attempt at facing it. But I think the problem is that, I know I've often felt like I'm more safe and I'm more secure if I don't remove this from my life. I can manage it if I can bring it up and hold it in my heart and because I owe it to something, you know, it's like I got to keep it there. But this guy had me face this dragon. Like, you can't slay the dragon until you face the dragon, you know? And he was like, so sit in it, let's notice it, and he had me put my hand over the spot, and he was kind of like coaching me in this like this healing almost. He's like, just start to like, and I remember he goes, try to have a mental picture. He goes, visually, like, move it up into your chest, try to get it out of your body. He's like, start, take mastery over it. He goes, think, because, and this sounds spooky, right? But think about this.
Well, it actually sounds biblical to me.
Okay, good.
Because, you know, many times in the Bible, they would have to do a physical walk out God wanted them to do, you know?
Yeah, take an action.
There was healing for, you know, the guy who dunked in the Jordan seven times, but he had to go dunk at it seven times. Mm-hmm. They had to walk around Jericho seven times. There was also like this victory kind of action that goes along with it.
And baptism is a physical representation of what is going on spiritually.
Yeah.
You know, you dunk under the water and you come up. It's a sign. These physical things we can do, you know, they actually represent, and our body learns them. And, you know, there's a whole quantum world, you know, out that we don't even yet understand. The things that we understand are a fingertip compared to the mountain below that we can't see. So when you're saying, you know, I got this feeling and I basically pulled it up, there's a million quantum cells responding and the energy of those flowing and changing.
I can feel it now.
You know?
Well, so I get it up in my chest, right? And this is weird. This is all a mental game I'm playing. I mean, but is it, you know? Because I got it up in my chest, and then it was like, if you picture a softball that's stuck to the ground by gum, bubble gum, and you pull it, but the gum pulls it back down.
Yeah.
That was the image I had. It was like this softball-sized anxiety lump in the center of my body. And I told him, he was like, now get it up and get it out, like get it out of your body. And I was like, I can't. I said, it's as if there's gum holding it down and it doesn't want to leave. And I can't, like my brain was not, or whatever, part of me, I was not allowing myself to see it removing out of, he goes, well then imagine a hand comes down and grabs it. And he goes, and freeze it. He goes, freeze it. Cause that's how you remove gum out of your hair. You can freeze gum, right? Mm-hmm. He goes, freeze it. And so I know this sounds crazy, but like, I froze it. I chose to freeze this anxiety, and then I was able to, and I actually did this motion where I took my hand and I started pushing up my chest, up my throat, and then out of my mouth.
Well, you know, people could be listening and think, oh, this is gobbledygook, and you said it's mental. People have just realized there's no such thing as just mental.
Yeah.
Just, were you going to say that, John? You can come be sovereign on the microphone. Just mental.
Come be sovereign.
Is actually no such thing. Mental means things are changing the quantum world. When you change things mentally, I mean, they've found out that in the quantum world, you know, you can have something, they can separate two different things in petri dishes, put them 700 miles away, do something to one of the cells, the other cell will change 700 miles away. We live in a world we barely understand, and we shouldn't just say, well, that's just mental.
We shouldn't feel spooked because, you know, I still don't even know how tape recorders work, let alone the fact that all my music's on an iCloud somewhere.
Light, sound, electricity, all these thinking, all these things, energy, God made them. If people are going to say, oh, that's new age, that's all spooky. God made them, people. Pearl, I'm sorry.
Doesn't it say that God takes the things that are not seen?
Yeah.
300 years ago, it would have been called magic.
Yes, it would be called voodoo.
That I could send you a message through the air.
Yes, the airdrop would have been witchery and you would have been burned at the stake. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. John, speak.
So when Serene started the opening and this went from her analogy to nothing's just mental, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys haven't, strangely enough, you guys haven't been to my house, but Dawn and I, my wife Dawn and I, are big put things on wall people. So,
yes.
And everyone that comes over to our house will always comment on, you guys have like the coolest stuff on your walls. And it's all... We love canvases, you know, the wrapped mm-hmm. canvas. And so we've got like the entire history of our families
love
on
that.
The wall.
Yeah.
And over the years, we have given gifts to family members of these canvases or pictures. And in a lot of cases, we've noticed in some cases they don't put them up. Like we'll go back to their...
Sad.
But we made a bigger observation. These same families, and some of these are family members, some of these are friends. The people that didn't put them up, it wasn't they didn't put our gift up on the wall. They don't have anything on their walls. And there's a couple family members that come to mind. And I think it's an interesting analogy. We've noticed that the people that don't have, like, you come into our house and you see our lives. If you guys walked in, you'd be like, yep, this is John's yeah. house. You see our lives. And
you walk into Welby Street, what Welby Street's all about because John.
Yeah, well, even Welby has a lot of stuff on the walls. But we notice that the people who don't put things on their walls physically, like in their physical homes mm-hmm. and put physical things on, it reflects. I see it carried over in the type of people and families that they are. I'm not going to call out any particular family members, but they tend to be. Those that don't talk things through, or maybe there's some family turmoil that isn't being discussed, like a lot of internalizing, like they don't put it like with Dawn and I and our family, we're just out there and our walls reflect mm-hmm. that, you know, and it's, we've talked about this so many times, walking down a hallway or just sitting in a room. And when we're surrounded by our life and it's like, I look up and I see my wife, or I see my son, or I see,
yeah.
you know, good friends, and then it's so therapeutic. And it I can't is. Tell you how many times when I have been raging mad inside yeah. about over something, walk down the hall and just seen a canvas of my son or my mm-hmm. wife, and just gone, oh, you know what,
yeah.
life is good.
This is good
stuff. And there are family members and friends that I could cite, I won't, but I could. That can't do that. And they don't do it in their homes, and they don't do it in life either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of people go through life internalizing everything.
And because it's value and honor. When you put yes. a frame around something, you are saying, I value, I honor this, right? And so that's why if we're going to frame our family on the walls, we're saying, this means so much to me. And I'm going to live my life honoring this. Yeah. And so I think that's what you're saying, Serene. What are on the walls of our minds, you know? Are we going to honor that argument, well, we won't forgive our husband for three
yeah,
years
exactly.
ago? Or are we going to honor that day that he caught the fish with our son?
Yeah.
And, you know, and then we all went back and, you know, camped and yeah. it was so beautiful. What yeah. are we going to honor here?
And exactly, and a lot of it is up to us, you know. And I said, yeah. you know, sometimes we need help. I just wanted to address that because there might be some people listening who have had such big things in their life where they've needed mm. help. And I believe there's no other. You can get a lot of help from many people. But I just want to put it out there too that that the Holy Spirit is
yeah.
the most amazing help on that.
And let me be clear, Serene.
Yeah. Go ahead, John.
The nothing on the walls was not yeah. I didn't mean that because you just said how you didn't have anything.
I totally know that.
That was not.
No. Because actually, the only time you came around to our house upstairs, we did have sheepskins all over the walls and other stuff. But I do want to say, but a lot of it is up to us, Pearl. And you said, you know, what are you going to choose to honor? And just recently, I was in the Bible reading, and it was talking about coming and taking the promised land. And to me, because it's something that I have sought for, many people seek for different promises, whether it's healing and different things. But to me, it's been peace. And that's my name, Serene. It's something that I've had to, I believe that I was called that because I believe it was something I was meant to fight for. And it's been where the enemy has attacked me the most. I've had panic attacks and fear and all that, but my name means peace, means tranquility. And so,
can you not say your arm so many times?
Well, because I lost my train of thought. That's why.
Okay, good girl.
So the arm is helping me get back. Good on you, Fitty. So I had to keep saying arm again to get back. But so I've totally lost it now.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
So for me, I was seeking the promised land of peace. Mm. And so to me, poetically, when I read in the Word about the children of Israel going to get the promised land, I put myself in there like me going after peace in my life, because that's the promise I know. I know they're all mine, but that's something that I'm really grabbing hold of, and especially because of my name. And so I was reading how it said, and they drove out the enemies from without the land. So it wasn't like, oh, great, rock up on the land. Here it is, peace. To me, it's something that I had to drive things out. And that's part of an obedience, and it's part of a duty that I have. So it's not like, oh, God, I'm praying for peace. Come on, why aren't you giving it to me? No, I believe that I have duty to do, and that's to drive out whatever it is, whatever anxious, stupid thought came into my brain, whatever overanalyzing habit that I have, whatever it is, that is the enemy in the camp that I need to drive out so that I can then dwell in the land of peace. And so I don't want people to get the picture of what I was talking before, like you all need help, you know, you can't just take those bad pictures out. I think we meant to act out in every amount of energy that we have too, but I believe when we have the strength of the Lord with us, it's so much,
yes,
that's when we can cope with especially those deeper things.
Yes, absolutely.
I believe a lot of mental things that people take medicine for, like Xanax, and where they're trying, they've been told that they have a chemical imbalance or misfiring in their brain. Perhaps there are extreme cases where that is exactly what's happening. There is some abuse of the brain and chemicals are going wrong and someone's helped by medicine. I'm no expert on that. I do, however, know from experience that many people I personally know who have been diagnosed with such things actually suffer from a lack of strong problem-solving skills. And so what I mean by that is there'll be a problem in their life or in relationships in their life or in their family, and it brings pain or depression. And what they're supposed to do now is problem solve in their brain, either how to fix this outer circumstance in their life or where to park it in their heart if you can't fix it. So it's like either fix you, like there's a skill in this: fix your problem or fix your mindset. Like if you can't control what's happening around you and it's causing this consistent thing, well then you have to adjust your mindset.
Exactly.
Over it.
You know, we could say, and we're not, as with countless parties, we've said we're not against antidepressants if needed. Sure. And sometimes they're needed for a short amount of time. Sometimes there's major misfiring. But listen, the statistics are is that antidepressant prescriptions are at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. Depression, anxiety is being diagnosed at an all-time high. It's gone up over 65% in the last 15 years.
Yeah, I was diagnosed with it, by the way, and prescribed Xanax.
It's about a quarter of all prescriptions filled. Okay, think about that. If it keeps going up, something's going on. And the fact that there's this book, and okay, you can say what you want about prescription medicine. It doesn't help all. In fact, it only helps a few.
Antidepressants. The statistics, how, yes, you know, long-term effect, that those that took the medication weren't necessarily the ones that stayed healed, but the ones that actually got help as far as
inner thought dialogue.
Inner thought dialogue, yeah.
You can train inner thought dialogue to actually, I mean, the studies are right there. You can go look it up right now, to have better success than antidepressant medicine.
Yeah.
And they've looked at people years down the track. You either do inner thought dialogue or antidepressant or anti-anxiety medicine, and there's actually better results using inner thought dialogue, which just means what the Bible says, not letting your thoughts drag in the mud into this stinking thinking.
So you'll say, yeah, hey, that thought was stupid, out with you. I tell myself that all the time. Serena, that was stupid, out. I throw that in the trash.
Or I don't accept that thought. Yeah. And I think so many people, though, they've been diagnosed like you have, Danny. And so then it's theirs. It's there. It's their pressure. It's my anxiety, my depression, my meds. I got to get my meds filled. When, you know, I have to fully believe, like Serene says, a lot of that is looking at the things in the frames that are causing the anxiety in your mind.
Hey,
you know,
look, if some of the most powerful forms of art and healing in this world have come from people who were probably depressed, but we didn't have medicine for it yet. Some of these ancient poets,
so they just had to, yeah,
they had to process in a, yeah, very powerful outer way.
Well, I think
they
David wrote, processed a lot. If you read the Psalms,
yeah, it said, "Why be downcast, oh my soul? Why are you upset?"
Oh, he would be given
my hope in God, and he talked.
He should have been prescribed Xanax. If he was in 2020, King David of Israel would have definitely been given,
but
if
boy,
a doctor would have read his diary and read, oh, the heart wrenching thing, and then he goes from that to him wanting to break people's teeth out of their mouth.
Yeah, but like, Danny, like, he really got overcome in ways. He went through major things, but he could have stayed down there.
No,
but
he didn't
God
stay down.
Him.
That was the point.
That's the point.
That was the point.
He had to do the mental. He had to. What did he say? I'll encourage myself.
Yeah, yes, in the Lord.
Like what?
In the Lord, and that's an important point. And Danny, I want to say this because it's in the dialogue. Number one, added to external, walking things out. When Danny decided to touch, like this thing in his stomach and try and push it up out, mm-hmm, it was like an external acting out of it. Mm-hmm. So powerful. I've heard of some people that have had issues in their life and they've tried to deal. So they do a healthy inner dialogue with the Lord and with their own mind, you know, like of what they're not going to be thinking about anymore and blah, 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 blah. And with prayer. And then they'll actually write down things on the piece of paper, all of the junk, and rip it up or burn it and make like a total burial of the stuff. Mm-hmm. They'll actually act out a burial of old memories. This memory is burnt up.
Yeah.
This memory, see this? I'm burying it or I'm burning
it. And it's like, you know, Kahuru, my daughter-in-law, she's been going through anorexia, but she's doing so amazing. She's, you know, been walking out of this because she was determined to get better. But she, you know, one of her therapists, a lovely Christian lady, said this scale is owning you. You have to physically do something to it as a turning point in your life, just like baptism for a Christian.
My wife just threw away our scale.
You have to smash it. So she got, you know, her husband, my son, is a hunter. She got the gun and she physically shot the thing to
I
death.
I love it.
Shot the scale.
And that was a turning point in her life.
That's nuts.
It was a turning point.
I love it.
I do want to say we've got 2 minutes. You know, we can bring this to our whole Trim Healthy Mama journey too. What are we framing on our walls? What are we saying? Is the frame, you know how you go to Hobby Lobby, right? Yeah, go Serene, she's got to go to the bathroom. And you frame things and they're all good things, like, hey, family, or this house and home, come in, feel comfortable.
Live, laugh,
we love,
love
you, love, 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 coffee's the best, blah, blah, blah. All the things you love and believe, right? They're positive things because we want to look at them, be reminded of positive things. So they're frame worthy. They inspire us. They make us happy. They make us believe in house and home and family. Same thing with our Trim Health. I mean, what are our frames on our walls? Is it like, this is hard and I miss my Pop-Tarts? Or is it, I can do this and I'm I can walk out this journey daily, or I love my new healthy food, or my purpose is to, you know, respect and honor my body. What are the frame things we're telling ourselves for our Trim Healthy Mama journey too?
Yeah, that's so true.
You missed it. You were in the bathroom, so Serene.
I was listening.
I was listening. You took it to the Trim Healthy Serene. Mama journey, and you're saying, if you go to Hobby Lobby and it says live, laugh, and love, but yeah. What are we saying? This is what I'd imagine you saying. What are we saying in our own little Trim Healthy Mama journey house on the inside of us? Oh, fat turtle, never lose weight. Is that our big sign?
Right. Thank you. I needed you to sort of help fix me. I didn't have some good signs.
Well, that's what I was imagining you saying when I was in the toilet peeing.
Yeah.
Video. All right, audience, you get the point, right?
She had to say, she didn't have to say the toilet. She had to say toilet peeing, just so you know.
Well, let me just tell you for one more thing, just to end with a joke. When we were in New Zealand, it really was the adventures of Pissy and Wee Wee. Because, you know, Pearl, the reason why she went down to Australia for real, we just went, my husband and I just really jumped on their holiday, was to visit Meadow, their daughter who lives in Japan now. And of course, their son-in-law and their grandbaby, their first grandbaby, Warren, it's closer to go to Australia. It's halfway from Japan. So they met there in Australia. And of course, Pearl is Prissy. You know, Pearl Priscilla. You all know that on social media.
Prissy, my grandmother name is Prissy.
So of course, what is Warren going to say? Prissy? No, it's Pissy. We told her that's what it was going to be.
Because Warren's a baby.
Yeah, so.
He's a one-year-old.
He's not the dad.
But remember how it was. I borrowed the term creamies from you and Lisa for nursing.
Treemies.
But then I turned it to treemies.
You thought you did, but it was treemies.
Okay, you love treemies too? It was treemies for you guys? Okay, of course. Everyone has to say tweemies.
The whole time, yeah.
Okay, so she would call it twee-twee. You know, that's because she couldn't say tweemies. She called it twee-twee. But then in Australia and New Zealand, she went psycho nurser, I think, because different country, you know, a little upheaval. So she started just yelling, wee-wee. She dropped the tit. So it was wee-wee.
And wee-wee is the New Zealand term for going pee-pee. In the potty.
Yeah, so it's wee wee.
So it was the adventures of Pissy and Wee Wee.
Guys, we're so glad you tuned in to the Trim Healthy podcast today.
That's hilarious to me.
And love Serene's offering of the pictures on the walls. That means so much.
But you didn't like our ending in Pissy and Wee Wee?
Well, the thing with Pissy and Wee Wee, I felt it in my spirit. A Baptist woman's child lost their salvation when you said that.
Oh. No, listen, up in my wall, in my home, in my body.
They're done.
One of my little internal dialogue, little live, laugh, and loves is the adventures of Pissy and Wee Wee.
Yeah. Yeah.
To me,
I love it. Yeah. It just makes my life all the better.
Their second oldest.
I dusted off.
Just lost their salvation. Hey, bye, folks. We love you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.